For OnSite Installer Magazine, this is David Steinkraus. Welcome to the OnSite Installer Podcast. Today we're talking with Glenn Martin, owner of Master Plumbers and Septic in Bradenton, Florida, about how he runs his business and uses technology to improve responses to existing customers while freeing much of his time to focus on contacts with prospective customers. You can read more about Martin in the June issue of OnSite Installer Magazine, and you can always find that article and much more online anytime at onsiteinstaller.com.
Tell me how you got into the business. It struck me that 17 was kind of early to start.
I actually started before that. I started probably when I was 15, and I would work in the summers when I was going to high school, and I grew up with Gary Wiener, who's the president and CEO of Mr. John Russell Reed Company in New Jersey. He and I grew up together with another fellow named Brian Welsh, who runs Sandy Tech Industries now in outside of Nashville. But his father owned Mr. John, and he started it in 1964. And Gary and myself would ride with Jose, who was a guy that fixed toilets in the yard, and he would pick us up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and we'd go to work, and he'd bring us home, and we would go in and we would fix toilets, and we learned how to operate forklift, and we cleaned toilets that came back off the trucks. We were kind of like yard guys where we started out. I remember being 15 and making, you know, a couple $100 a week and getting a paycheck and having money in the summer, which was pretty cool. I ended up getting, you know, my license at 17. We were riding on trucks. We were helping with deliveries and eventually doing, you know, getting on a service truck, whether it was a golf tournament they needed help for or special events delivery. We would team up with other guys and actually drive the trucks and deliver the units. I stayed with Mr. John through high school. And when I went to college, I would come back in the summer and work for them again in the summertime. And when I got done with my undergraduate degree, I went to work in their office. I was a collections manager. I would help with dispatch. I had my own division in South Jersey that was kind of like a startup. I've kind of been in the wastewater business my whole life.
We settled on Tuftite and Infiltrator systems products. Tell me why those particularly.
Because they're very simple to use. They're very simple to install. They save a lot of labor. They're easy to work with. It's easy to train guys on how to put them in. They used to just use, you know, PTI pipe and put it in the ground and run some laterals in the yard. But now, those infiltrators, you can really condense the system. It looks nice. It's got more capacity. The design is pretty cool. The way the infiltrators are shaped like an upside-down U, it gives you more capacity, I think, in the drain field. I think it's a great idea. We love using them. It just makes the job so much easier. No stone. Trying to rake stone is very difficult.
Or when you were starting, I noticed that, of course, Florida was really ground zero on foreclosures there for a bit. And you were building relationships with a lot of the realtors and property managers and other people who owned the properties that you were servicing. Have those relationships continued, and do they continue to pay off for you?
Those relationships have really ballooned and blossomed up. One of the customers I do business with, I got a lead from another plumber that got a call. His response was, I don't want to work on foreclosed homes because I won't get paid. So he kind of passed it off to me. And what I found out is we are getting paid. The bank is paying the bills. When they took over a lot of these foreclosures, what they forgot to do when the bank took them back, they shut the power off, they shut the pool pump off, they shut the electric off, they didn't cut the grass, the houses began to get pillaged, people would steal the air conditioner, steal the pool pump, they would go inside the house and steal the copper. We've got foreclosures in some bad areas, you might say. Those houses were stripped. I've been in houses where they stole the kitchen sink. The only bad thing about working on foreclosures is everyone we go in, there's a story behind it, a family that's been wrecked. That's what I see when I walk in. Although we do have work and it's opportunity, it's almost a shame. The banks would have been better off working with those people even if they were only paying a few $100 a month, because once they kick them out, the property went into distress big time. And that's where we come in. We've got to put the new heater back in. We've got to fix the valves, the toilets. We've got to do the septic inspection, the plumbing inspection, the well inspection. And that's how we're getting all this work. One of the unique things we do is we do a tremendous amount of business on email. And I would almost say our business, and this is going to sound strange, but I would almost say we've got a web-based business. People would say, what do you mean? How could you have a plumbing web-based business? All our stuff comes over the internet. All the orders come in through the internet. All the customers are trained to email in their orders because most of them are for reports and inspections, and they have deadlines. So we dispatch the emails. We do the reports. We take dated photos. We're sending them all back out. Everything's dispatched on email. And more realtors and more bank contractors and real estate people are seeing our inspection reports and seeing our photos. And one of the unique things we do is every time we do an inspection, the first picture is a picture of our truck with the property in the background. I actually had a customer call me and I said, how did you find us? He said, I'm looking at a picture of your truck that was attached to an inspection report. Would you guys like to get together? We've got a lot of work for you to look at.
Was it difficult to get your customers trained that way?
They actually loved it. And matter of fact, we just purchased another company May 1st. This company is a small company. It's owned privately by one fella. But basically, when we take him on board, his phone is ringing off the hook, right? He's on the phone all day. First thing we're going to have him do is go out with a letter, go to his customers, introduce them to our company and tell them he's a part of it now. And he's going to explain to each customer, this is how you put your orders in going forward. You email your orders in. You don't call. You don't call unless there's a problem, and there usually isn't a problem. And when you send your order in, you get a response within seconds that pretty much just says, will do. That's how we respond, will do. You ask for something, say, will do. We get it done. Usually it's always done the next day, within 24 hours. And then by the end of the you put an order in today, by the end of the day tomorrow, you've got pictures coming, dated, you've got your report, and you've got your invoice. You could see everything we did.
Did you start on the email and electronic system because you have so many property owners who live in other states, or was it simply a way to get your people away from phone calls that can be very time-consuming?
That's a good question, and you won't believe this either. I answer the phone always, every call coming in, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. People say to me, you've got, you know, seven guys, you've got six trucks, you've got subs working, you've got a lot of stuff going on. Where is your office? I said, it's at my house. Who picks up your phone? I do. Well, who does the billing? I do. Well, who collects the money? I do. Who runs the P&L? I do. Who dispatches? I do. They say, how do you do all that? And what I realized was, if I can get my phone to stop ringing, it's available for new customers. And once I get a customer and I put them on the email system, as their orders come in, I can manage them very easily and I can do more work by myself. And I don't need a large office and I don't need a, I think we're getting there. We're probably going to have one in September, but so far I've managed to juggle it all on my own. And my point is I'm trying to make my phone not ring. Not that I don't want people calling me. But the ones that are already have a relationship with us, we just put them on the email system. And the other thing is we have a time and a date of what time the call came in. So there's a whole track record right from the beginning. Also, too, the technician is getting the same email that I have with the same notes and instructions. And they're instructed on the job that if they get a dispatch from an email and there's questions, when they get there, they call the customer directly. They don't call the office. They call the customer directly and say, I'm on the job. You want A, B, and C done. Were you aware that, you know, D and E might need to be done? Or if there's a question, they handle it, so they free my phone up. I'm constantly training my guys to understand to not make my phone ring. If you're in the office, you have no idea what's going on out there. No idea. Because you're not there. You can be on the phone with somebody trying to explain something, but it's not like being on the job. If they have technical issues, I have an operations manager. So if they're on the job, they don't call me. They take a shot. They call him first, and they can send him pictures, and he can walk them right through what their situation is. And that frees my phone up as well. So if I didn't have telemarketers calling, the only calls I would get would pretty much be from new customers. And now, too, when I pick up the phone, I have time to talk to these people, you know, and been spending a lot of time in the field as I have. You have to have people picking up the phone that have a lot of technical experience, you know. You can't just have someone pick up the phone and take a message. To me, that's just a waste of a position and a waste of time, and you're frustrating the customer.
Your talk about the email web-based business also feeds into one of my other questions. If you have a job applicant come in without computer skills, that's pretty much the end of the interview right there.
Well, we still emphasize the technical skills, but we consider that to be a given. You know, you either know how to run a pump truck or a jetter. You're either a pro at it or not. If you don't have a smartphone, if you don't know how to text, if you can't take pictures on your phone with a date, and you can't read email, and you can't print out tickets or, you know, print out from your home, if you don't have what I would call those basic skills, if you're the best service tech in the world, and you have all kinds of credentials and licenses and degrees or whatever, if you can't do those basic things, we can't hire you. And what we do, too, when we hire someone, we take them on for a 30-day trial period. We put them out in the field. And basically, at the end of 30 days, all of the guys that you worked with will vote on whether you're going to stay or not. And if one guy says, I don't want to work with him, you're not getting hired.
That takes the whole notion of finding a good fit for your employees and essentially makes it happen. And then you don't have to, as the manager, try to figure out whether someone is a good fit.
Well, we can get a feel from the paperwork coming back in. We can get a feel from the callbacks. Really what it comes down to is if all that other criteria is met, it's really up to the guys in the field, because you don't work for the company. You work with these guys in the field. You're part of the team. What I found, too, when I do that, the guys that are already here, they know it. They like it. They also know, too, they're never going to get stuck on a job with somebody they don't want to work with that might be, say, lazy or not skilled enough. They don't want to do their work and someone else's work, too. They're not going to do it. And it just sets a high bar for us and for the guys. And they have say in the company. They participate in the company.
Right. And I'm going to guess that also reduces your turnover.
Well, correct. The way I look at it is we don't ever want to be held hostage by an employee or a piece of equipment. So what we do is we always make sure we have an extra guy and an extra truck, always. So if someone gets injured or someone wants to quit or whatever, or we get busy, and usually we're doing this because we can't keep up with the growth, so now we try to get ahead of it. Once we have an extra truck and it starts getting used up a little too much, like 2-3 days a week, we go get another one and another guy so that we can keep up with the growth, and we're not going to have a service quality issue if a truck gets crashed or wrecked or breaks down or blows an engine, and we're not going to have a service issue if someone's on vacation or breaks their leg. And the funny thing is, 2 weeks ago, we had one of our new best guys break his foot at home on a Sunday. We didn't skip a beat on Monday. We already had another guy in the truck, in his truck right away. Now, we want him to come back, but he'll probably be out of work for they're talking 6 weeks, maybe 8 weeks. It might be a little longer than that, you know. But I see too many companies where, you know, every day they're running at maximum capacity. They don't have enough equipment. They don't have enough guys. The guys are starting to get stressed out. And if they get a big account or someone gets hurt or leaves, the service quality just goes completely the wrong direction. And you end up losing business that way.
If somebody calls you with a job, you know that you have that little bit of extra capacity, so you can say yes on the spot.
Well, I could tell you a story. I could give you two, and we had another one today, and we had one last week. But you know how Fridays are. Nobody wants to get an emergency call at 3 or 4 o'clock on a Friday. We had one last Friday at 3:15. We had somebody on the job within 45 minutes, and we emailed the customer and said ETA 45 minutes. The call came in at 4:29. At 4:59, they got the call that he'll be there shortly, and the customer sent back a response, and all it said was, wow, you guys are good. Same thing happened today. Realtors in a house, there's water running, They can't shut it off. The shutoff valve won't close. I got a guy on the job already. And that's how we keep our customers. And a lot of times, it's that new customer calling who called his old vendor who can't come. And all they want to know is, can we come? And usually when we show up, we end up getting the whole account because the customer doesn't want to wait. And I think these days, if you don't build capacity in to do that, you're probably going to miss a lot of opportunities, especially if you're trying to grow your business and you're spending money on advertising. You would expect that you're going to get one of these calls, I would think, right? That's why you're advertising.
What percentage have you been growing over the last, oh, say, 2-3 years?
If I told you, you wouldn't believe me. We've grown probably anywhere from 30 to 50% for the last few years. This year alone in 2013, our revenues are double on a monthly basis. In January, February, March, and April of this year, our revenues are double what they were same period last year. I can't believe it.
Thank you very, very much for your time. It's been wonderful talking to you. You have lots of insights and lots of good ideas that I'm sure other people will find very useful.
Well, I have a lot of good ideas, and I think I'm getting smarter only because I've made a tremendous amount of mistakes. It's an honor to be in the installer, and it's an honor to have our company featured. It means a lot.
This is David Steinkraus with Onsite Installer Magazine. To learn more about Glenn Martin and Master Plumbers and Septic, see the June issue of Onsite Installer or find it online at onsiteinstaller.com. Thanks for listening.